Welcome to the deep dive. Okay, so you sent over some really interesting stuff about making meetings, well, actually work, especially now with everyone kind of scattered between home and the office.
Yeah, there's this insider's insight document. It pulls from research, best practices, even Harvard Business Review.
Right. And our mission today is pretty straightforward. Pull out the absolute must-know strategies from all this so you listening can stop wasting time and start having meetings that, get things done.
Consider it the fast track to fixing meetings.
Exactly. And it's funny how meetings have changed, isn't it? Thinking back, especially in fields like, say, pharma, which the sources mention.
Oh, yeah, with all those different teams needing to connect regulatory, medical, R&D, commercial, compliance.
It was always face-to-face. That was the default.
Totally. Then, boom, the pandemic
Yeah.
hits, and suddenly it's all Zoom, Teams, WebEx, which is great for flexibility, but then you get.
The dreaded Zoom fatigue. We've all
Yeah.
felt that.
And that ties into the core problem, right? The sources flagged this survey, something like 47% of people said too many meetings was a critical time waster.
Almost half. That's huge. So this deep dive is really about tackling that head on, making meetings purposeful again.
So where do we start before you even hit schedule?
Yeah, that seems like the logical place. The sources pose some really critical questions you should ask yourself before setting anything up. Like, fundamentally, is this meeting even necessary?
It sounds obvious, but how often do we actually stop and ask? The first question is basically, have I actually thought this through myself?
Right. Or am I just using the meeting to force myself to think about it?
Exactly. And then, do I need other people's input to move forward? Is it blocked without them?
Good point. And related to that, does moving forward require a real-time back-and-forth conversation?
Or could it be something else? Which leads to the next one. Does this absolutely have to be face-to-face or, camera on virtual?
It's like a decision tree for not wasting time.
Pretty much. It's rational thinking applied to calendars. Because if the answer to real-time conversation needed is no, well, there are other ways.
Like what? What are the alternatives the sources suggest?
Well, need feedback on a plan you've written? Email might be fine. Cut quick question. Maybe just use online chat.
Okay, simple enough.
Need that two-way exchange, but don't necessarily need to see the person or share complex visuals. A quick phone call or even a video call without the expectation of formality might do it.
So reserve the actual scheduled meeting, especially face to face, for when it's genuinely the best tool for the job.
Precisely. When that real-time synergy or complex problem-solving is truly required.
Okay, makes sense. So let's say you've gone through that checklist, and yes, a meeting is the right call. What's next to make sure it's not a waste?
Purposeful planning. This is huge in the materials. Every single meeting needs a crystal clear objective.
Not just talk about Project X.
Definitely not. Is the goal to make a specific decision? Or are you looking to gather feedback on something? Or is it purely informational, just updating stakeholders?
And being vague, especially in those complex fields like pharma mentioned earlier, that can lead to real problems, right?
Yeah.
Misunderstandings, wrong turns.
Costly ones, potentially. The sources link fuzzy objectives directly to lower engagement and productivity. If people don't know why they're there, they just tune out.
So be specific, and then what? Just keep that objective in your head.
No, share it. Put it right there, the meeting invitation, and maybe even quickly reiterate it at the very start of the meeting. Okay, everyone, just to remind ourselves, we're here today to decide on X.
Alignment from the get-go. I like it. So you know the why. How do you structure the what, the actual conversation?
That brings us neatly to structured agendas. The sources are clear.
Oh.
An agenda isn't just a topic list, it's a strategic tool.
Okay, strategic how?
It needs the purpose for each item, the expected outcome for that item, like you said, decision, discussion, info share, and crucially, a time allocation.
Ah, the time allocation, the thing that always seems to go out the window.
Right. But having it written down provides that reference point, and the recommendation is to get this agenda out early, at least 48 hours in advance.
Along with any pre-reading materials, yeah. Give people a chance to actually prepare.
Exactly. No ambushing people. In that pharma context, again, the sources mentioned typical items like regulatory timelines or risk assessments, stuff you absolutely need to prioritize.
And putting names next to agenda items. Does that help?
Big time. According to the sources, it fosters accountability. If you know you're leading point number two, you'll likely prepare more thoroughly. And that Harvard Business Review finding is telling meetings with pre-circulated agendas just feel more effective to participants.
Makes total sense.
Right.
Okay, clear purpose, structured agenda. Now, who actually needs to be in this well-planned meeting?
Selective participation. This is a tricky balance. You need the right people for input and decisions.
But not so many people that it becomes a lecture or folks feel redundant.
Precisely. The sources mentioned that cross-functional setups, like in pharma, are particularly vulnerable to invite bloat.
Yeah, the just-in-case or keep-them-in-the-loop invites that fill up the virtual room.
Right. The core principle should be, does this person have a clear, active role or contribution for this specific meeting?
How do you figure that out systematically?
The RCI matrix is mentioned as a useful tool defining who's responsible, accountable, consulted, and informed for the meeting's tasks or decisions.
RACI. Okay.
And there's that McKinsey data point too, smaller meetings, like under 8 people, generally lead to faster decisions. Something to keep in mind.
Fewer cooks, maybe. Okay, so tight list, clear purpose, solid agenda. How do you kick things off right?
Effective openings are key for setting the tone. The advice is start on time, don't wait for stragglers. It penalizes those who were punctual.
Hard rule, but probably fair.
Then welcome everyone, quick agenda review, restate the objective we talked about earlier, and crucially, assign roles right at the start.
What kind of roles are we talking about?
Well, a facilitator, absolutely vital, especially online, to guide discussion, manage dynamics, make sure everyone gets heard.
Okay, who else?
A timekeeper to keep an eye on that allocated agenda timing, and a dedicated note taker. Even if you're recording, someone needs to actively capture key decisions and, importantly, action items.
Action items, yeah, things can fall through the cracks there.
Definitely. The sources even suggest maybe assigning someone specifically to gently call out off-topic tangents.
The tangent police.
Sort of, but maybe phrased more diplomatically. And the most critical part of roles and wrap-up, clearly identifying who owns each follow-up action and by when.
And getting that summary out quickly afterwards.
Absolutely. A concise summary with those actions, owners, and deadlines is non-negotiable for accountability.
Got it. Now, so much of this happens online now. How do we leverage the tech, the e-tools, as the sources call them, effectively?
Right. The virtual environment can actually be an advantage if used well. The platforms we all know, Zoom, Teams, Meet, have features that can really help.
Like screen sharing, obviously.
Yeah, but also things like live captions for accessibility, breakout rooms for smaller discussions, even just the reaction buttons can gauge quick sentiment. Visual and interactive elements help.
And it's not just the meeting platform itself, is it?
No, the sources highlight collaborative tools too. Things like Miro or Mural for virtual whiteboarding and brainstorming.
Google Docs for real-time co-creation.
Exactly. They build that shared ownership. Then you've got transcription tools like Otter.ai or Fireflies.ai. Great for records and summaries.
Makes follow-up easier.
For sure. And project management tools, Asana, Trello, ClickUp, to track those action items we just talked about, linking meeting decisions directly to tasks.
That closes the loop nicely. Any other tools mentioned?
Yeah, briefly, things like scheduling tools like Calendly to ease the booking process, and more interactive stuff like virtual polling within the meeting itself.
It feels like there's a whole ecosystem of tools to support better meetings.
There is. But the tool is only as good as the person wielding it, which brings us back to
the facilitator.
Exactly. Their role is even more critical online. They're battling potential tech issues, home distractions, the difficulty of reading virtual body language.
So what should a good virtual facilitator be doing?
Start strong. Review the agenda, set ground rules like muting mics, using the raise hand feature, then actively manage participation.
How so?
You know, consciously monitoring who's speaking, gently prompting quieter folks. Sarah, we haven't heard from you on this point. Any thoughts? And maybe redirecting those who might be dominating.
That takes skill and awareness.
It does. Techniques like round-robin feedback, where you go person by person, can ensure everyone contributes. Using live annotation on shared docs, running those digital polls we mentioned.
Keeping things moving and inclusive.
And always summarizing each item's outcome and next steps before moving on. In those diverse, maybe hierarchical teams like in pharma, the facilitator's key to creating that psychological safety.
Making it okay for everyone to actually speak up.
Precisely.
Okay, let's talk about engagement directly. That Zoom fatigue is real. How do we fight it, especially in potentially long or complex meetings?
You have to design for it intentionally. Can't just expect people to passively absorb for an hour. Interactive elements are key.
Like the breakout rooms and polls you mentioned?
Yes, those are great. Collaboratively marking up slides instead of just presenting them. Using platforms like Miro or Mentimeter for real-time idea generation. Mix it up.
What about the human element?
Good point. Rotating facilitation can keep things fresh. Using short, relevant icebreakers, especially with new groups, actively acknowledging contributions. Thanks, John. That's a helpful perspective.
Making people feel seen and heard.
Exactly. And for longer sessions, build in short breaks, vary the format, maybe some presentation, then Q&A, then small group work. Don't just drone on.
The sources mentioned a study about interaction frequency.
Yeah, an APA study suggesting that an interactive bit every 15 minutes or so really boosts retention and satisfaction. Keep people involved.
15 minutes, that's a good benchmark. Okay, so people are engaged, but the meeting needs to lead somewhere concrete. Let's revisit action items.
Absolutely critical. A meeting without clear outcomes is, well, often a wasted time. Every meeting needs tangible outputs. What are the action items? Who owns each one? What's the deadline?
And you said summarize these verbally at the end.
Yes, confirm understanding. Then get it in writing distributed within 24 hours is the recommendation. And in regulated fields, that documentation needs to be accurate and auditable.
Makes sense. Using shared tools to track progress.
Highly recommended. Linking the decision to the task in something like Asana or Trello keeps it visible and promotes accountability. Use a consistent format, make owners clear, ensure everyone's on the same page.
Right. Now, a slightly different angle. Basic online etiquette seems obvious, but maybe it's not always practiced.
It's foundational for professionalism. The sources list the key things. Be on time, test your tech beforehand, mic, camera, connection.
Minimize background noise, please.
Oh, yes. And dress appropriately if you're on camera. And the golden rule, mute yourself when you're not talking.
What else falls under good virtual manners?
Try to use video if possible and appropriate. It helps connection. Stay focused, avoid obviously multitasking. Be mindful of your body language, even on screen. Communicate clearly, concisely, listen actively.
And use the platform features respectfully, like chat or raise hand.
Yes, use them as intended, not disruptively. Stick to the agenda, respect time limits, and always help wrap up by confirming those action items. It's about collective responsibility for a smooth experience.
Okay, we've covered a lot of how-tos, but the sources also flagged common pitfalls. What are the big mistakes people keep making?
Well, one really striking statistic mentioned is that often 60-75% of meeting talk time is dominated by just a few people.
Wow, 3/4 of the time.
Yeah, which means tons of ideas and perspectives from quieter folks just get lost. This leads to issues like, well, discomfort for those who can't get a word in, or social loafing where people check out because they figure their input isn't needed anyway.
Or production blocking, where just the process of waiting your turn slows down idea generation.
Exactly. And the other huge pitfall we already touched on, assuming a meeting is the only way. The estimate was maybe 30% of meetings could be emails or quick calls instead.
So always question the necessity first.
Always. And if you do have the meeting, actively counter that tendency for dominance. Use those engagement techniques, breakout rooms, polls, direct questions right from the start.
Keep meeting shorter, too.
Definitely recommended. Aim for 60-90 minutes max for most things. Build in breaks if it has to be longer.
What about complex topics? Like in our pharma example, lots of jargon.
Pre-meeting summaries can help massively there. Use visuals. Simplify language where possible. Maybe even include a glossary of key terms. Level the playing field so everyone starts with a baseline understanding.
And the follow-up trap. Forgetting what was decided.
Huge pitfall. That's why having a dedicated note-taker is crucial. Getting minutes out quickly within 24 hours and starting the next meeting by reviewing actions from the last one. Use those shared trackers. Closure and accountability.
It seems like a lot of this comes down to discipline and structure.
It does, but the sources make a final, really important point. It's not just about structure.
What else is there?
Culture, the foundational layer. You can have the best agenda and facilitator, but if the underlying culture isn't one of trust, inclusivity, and psychological safety,
people still won't contribute fully or challenge ideas constructively.
Exactly. Folks need to feel safe to speak up, to disagree respectfully, without fear. That's when meetings become truly powerful. And fostering that culture includes reflecting on meetings afterwards, getting feedback, continuously improving.
So wrapping this all up, the big message seems to be meetings can be incredibly valuable, not just time sucks.
Absolutely. But it requires intentionality. Focus on the purpose, plan meticulously, get the right people in the room, facilitate actively for engagement, and nail down the follow-through.
And it all starts with those simple, critical questions before you even schedule it.
Is this trip necessary? The meeting equivalent. Taking that pause can make all the difference.
Okay, so here's a final thought for everyone listening. Look at your calendar for next week. which meetings truly need that real-time synchronous discussion? And could you maybe pick just one or two insights from our chat today, maybe a clear objective, a timed agenda, or assigning a specific facilitator and apply it to make one of those meetings noticeably better for everyone?
Give it a try. Experiment a little. See what happens.
It might just make a difference. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us.